Got sound? Good, good. I'm just moving over to close the door, Fred, that's all. Still have some exams out, so I will be going over those after we finish. And so if you have any questions, of course, as always, email me, and we'll get it corrected, all right? All right, so y'all looking like. Y'all send it? Okay, all right, good, 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 good. No problem, no problem at all. Questions are good. At least you're paying attention. That's good. Tonight, last week, well, when we were together last, I began to talk about hearing the voice of God. And I began to allude of how important it is for that to be developed if we're going to develop our spirits. Because we established the fact, this is in John, the 4th chapter, how the Bible talks about God is a spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so, and hearing the voice of God is the first step in building our spirits, because the only way our spirits can be built is by the creator of our spirits. We can't build our spirits. Only the creator can. And the only way that our spirits can be built properly is by maintaining a constant flow of God's voice into our lives. And so if we can't hear the voice of God, or if we have doubts about hearing the voice of God, then we're going to have doubts about our spirits being built. And so since God is a spirit, we have a spirit, then that means we're going to have to communicate with God with our spirits. All right. So hearing the voice of God is very important. And begin to talk about how in John, the 10th chapter, 27th verse, it begins to talk about Jesus saying, "My sheep hear my voice." It is a promise. It is a command. It's not something it's a chain reaction. If you become a follower of the word, you will hear the voice of God. It's a development that takes place. It's not something that just automatically happens. It is a development that takes place. Everybody that hears the voice of God, everybody that you read about that hears the voice of God, was at some point searching for the voice of God. So Abraham's worshiping the sun and the moon, and all of a sudden he heard the voice of God. Moses was on the backside of the mountain, and a burning bush. God, the Holy Spirit, consumed the bush and began to burn, but the fire did not consume the bush, and that was Moses' opportunity to hear the voice of God. And so every person that has heard the voice of God, it was a growth process. It wasn't something that just happened. It was a growth process. And so God made it very plain for us to hear his voice, because Jesus said it himself. He said, "My sheep hear my voice." It's not maybe, it's not might, it is my followers hear my voice. So if I want to, how can I say it? If I want to guarantee hearing the voice of God, I have to become a follower of the word. Turn me to Romans, the 7th chapter. See, hearing the voice of God is important because it's the very essential ingredient to your growth. If you can't hear, see, here's the thing. Here's the problem I have with most Christians. Most Christians want to wait till they hear somebody else talk about God. That's the problem I have with most Christians. And this is why a lot of Christians, they have a tough time walking in victory, is because they're waiting for somebody else to talk to them about God. When God made it very easy for us to talk to him for ourselves. You see, so the problem is that we're so earthly governed with our senses that we don't take time. It takes effort. It's a price has to be paid in order to make your spirit more, how can I say this? You become more acclimated to the spirit world than you do the natural. It's easy for us to be acclimated to the natural. Why? Because we're born in natural. We're trained from young about our five senses. We're trained from the very beginning about our five senses. But very few times are we trained by our spirits. And so a lot of times, more times we get to our adult life before we really get serious about hearing the voice of God. Because now stuff come up. We got to deal with. We got to make happen. And so now the voice of God also becomes important.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, am I making sense? And so now you have to take the time to train yourself to hear God for yourself, to hear his voice, to know when he's speaking, to know when he's not speaking, to know when it's not his voice. And if we don't do that, then it'll be very hard for you to grow in the spirit, because the voice of God is, the voice of God started off reading about the voice of God, and God said, and things begin to happen. So if God spoke to, watch this. If God spoke to darkness and stuff started happening, what will happen when he speaks to us? Is that making sense? If God spoke to darkness and darkness all of a sudden had to be dispelled and light starts showing up, then, when God talks to us, now mind you now, the darkness wasn't created after his image. The earth wasn't created after his image. The earth doesn't have his spirit in it. We have God's spirit on the inside of us. He made us into his image. So there's something spectacular and supernatural that ought to be happening when we hear the voice of God. It ought to be like a match hitting gas. When your voice of God hits your spirit, it ought to be an explosion taking place. I now know what to do. I now know what direction I need to go in. I know what needs to happen. But if that match don't ever strike and hit the gas, no explosion is going to take place. So not hearing the voice of God is the match laying there not being able to be struck, and you full of gas. No explosion can take place. So hearing the voice of God is very important. Not only being able to hear the voice of God, but being able to be confident that this is the voice of God. God is speaking to me. God is talking to me. God is trying to say something to me. Very important. Here in the seventh chapter of Romans, the latter part of this chapter, we'll see why hearing the voice of God is important. Because the voice of God helps to strengthen our will. Now, remember we talked about the will a few weeks ago. Listen to me, Ned. A few weeks ago, we talked about the will as the most important aspect of our soul. Because it's the one that takes all the other input of the soul, the memory, the emotions, and it makes a decision of what it's going to do. What I found recently in reading and in action is that, your will, once your will make a decision, it's kind of hard to recover from that. It's almost like pushing a pebble in a snow on a mountain in snow. Once that pebble gets rolling, it's just gonna pick up momentum, and you hardly not gonna stop that. That's what your will does. But when you have the voice of God continually talking to you, it's affecting your emotions, it's affecting your memory, it's affecting the other aspects of your soul, so that when your will begins to pull information from these other aspects of your soul, you can make the right decisions. Amen. Are you seeing this? Example, when I just recently understand my eating habits. Here's what I used to do. I used to not eat breakfast, eat lunch, and then eat dinner. I never ate breakfast, never ate anything in between. And so what would happen is, when it comes to 12 o'clock, I hadn't eaten nothing all day. So my will is shot. So I'm eating whatever I get my hands on, and then I'm eating more of it. Same thing with dinner. So now what I started to do was eat breakfast, eat a snack, eat lunch, eat a snack. And so now I find myself eating less because my will ain't shot. So watch this. My will is not strengthened. Because why? Because hunger is not dictating.
That's right.
Are you seeing this? Hunger is not dictating. So now I can make better choices. Same thing happens in the supernatural. When you spend time with God and you don't try to splurge when you're in trouble. See, that's the issue. Most people try to splurge when they're in a situation. So now they start hearing, they start looking for anything and listening for any type of voice. So now you start, they're starting to receive all kind of calories they shouldn't be eating. Getting all kind of information that you shouldn't be getting. And then you now you got to try to make a decision off this information. It's making sense. But when you're spending time with God consistently, you're training yourself to hear the voice of God. So now when trouble comes, you know a surety God is going to speak to you and give you insight on what to do. So you're not panicking. So you're not voraciously trying to consume all of God at one time and getting yourself in trouble. Because then Satan can slip in on that and start telling you bits and pieces of information that really ain't God. But you think it's God. Why? Because you're not used to hearing his voice. This is making sense. So watch this. Here in this Paul talking in the 14th verse. So we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I do, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I do it that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. See, this is Paul talking about he in the situation. So now hearing the voice of God makes a difference, because not only do you will to do what's right, but now God can show you. See that? So the same thing with eating habits. When you ain't jammed yourself, you ain't going out just looking for in and everything. You can make the selective choices. And you can make the right choices on what. So here's the thing. When you don't wait till you get jammed in a situation, because now you're going to start looking for any way out.
Yes, sir.
And any way out might not be God's way out.
That's right.
Are you seeing this?
Yes,
continue reading. Verse 19. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that doeth it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So now, here it is. Paul said, talking about his will. He's talking about his will. His will is there to do. Wait. He know to do right. But he's struggling trying to do right. This is because of not constantly hearing the voice of God. When you constantly hear the voice of God, that's the only reason why. Go to Genesis, the first chapter. Genesis, the second, I think it is. Watch this. I'm sorry, Genesis the third chapter. That's what I want to get to. Genesis the third chapter. Genesis the third chapter of 8th verse. And talking about Adam and Eve. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. The only reason why Satan was able to slip in is because Adam and Eve didn't keep a continuous relationship and fellowship with God the Father. So when God the Father come looking for them, they actually hid themselves from them. Now, that's impossible. You can't hide yourself from God. God is everywhere. But they were so ignorant, they were trying to hide themselves from God. Are you seeing this? That's because they didn't take time to continuously spend time with God. So when it came time for that tree of knowledge of good and evil, their will was shot. Are you seeing this? You see what happens? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is just happens over and over and over and over and over again in people's lives. It might not be a tree of knowledge of good and evil, but it might be a decision. It might be when sin presents itself. It might be when a bad situation presents itself. You have a choice. Are you going to eat off this tree, or are you going to wait to hear the voice of God? It's the same process over and over and over again. When you presented a situation, what are you going to do? Are you going to eat off the tree, or are you going to hear the voice of God? Do you see how important it is to hear the voice of God? Because if you don't hear the voice of God, you're going to eat off the tree. That's the only two choices you got. That's the only two choices we have. Either we hear the voice of God, or we're eating off the tree. Now watch this. The difference between hearing the voice of God and eating off the tree is, watch this. When we hear the voice of God, we can safely go through trouble. It's not going to stop you from going through trouble, but it's going to escort you through it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But when you eat off the tree, you're not guaranteed safety. Go to the 23rd Psalm. All right, watch this. This is all about hearing the voice of God. This whole chapter is about hearing the voice of God. The 23rd Psalm is about hearing the voice of God. I don't know why they made it a funeral psalm. Because when you're dead, you don't need to hear the voice of God, but you're going to see him face to face. See what I'm saying? So this is a psalm about hearing the voice of God. Watch this. Watch what it says. Watch what David says. The Lord is my shepherd. Did you say my sheep hear my voice? The Lord is my shepherd, right? I shall not want. Other words, I won't lack anything. When the Lord is leading me, I won't go without. Verse 2, he maketh me lie down in green pastures. He maketh me. That means his voice is leading me into plush places. Are you seeing this? His voice is doing all this. Him making it don't mean he grabbing us by the hand and dragging us there. His voice, if we follow his voice, there is no other option but to be in a plush place. Amen. Is this making sense?
Yes,
watch this. Verse 3. Look what verse 3 says. Look what verse 3 says. He what?
Restored my soul.
Wait a minute. The Lord restores my soul. How do you think your soul is restored? With his voice. When God talks to you, restoration, you're filled up again. You was empty, but when God speaks to you, you filled up. When God talks to you, you're no longer empty, you're full. When God talks to you, your mind is renewed. Are you seeing this? This 23rd Psalm is about his voice. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in the path of being in right standing with him. Another way to say this is he leads me to do things his right way. What's doing this? His voice. God is not forcing us to do anything. Is he leading us? And so when we follow his lead, we are now, it's inevitable. We're going to be doing things his right way. Are you seeing this? This is his voice doing this now. Now watch this. Verse 4 is what I wanted to get to. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Yea, though I walk through trouble. Yea, do I have to go through this earthly, this barren land? What happens? I will fear no evil. Why? If I can, his voice. He's with me. See, I don't want God to be with me if he don't give me no instructions. See, if God is with me, that means he's talking to me. That means my ear is, it makes no good for God to be with me if I can't hear him. Ain't nothing gonna change. He'll go with you, but if you don't hear his voice, that don't mean your condition is going to change. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That is his voice. When we hear the voice of God, it helps to strengthen our will. You don't hear the voice of God. All right, go to Romans, the 10th chapter. Romans, the 10th chapter, the 17th verse. It says, so then faith comes by what?
Hearing.
And hearing by?
The word of God.
The word of God. So we see Paul is talking here. Paul says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now watch this now. We know this. We went over the scripture a bunch of times here, but it's important that we go over it again because we have to shift our thinking. We have to be more attuned to the voice of God. How do I get to the voice of God? Because this particular scripture says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word or the rhema word of God. So my confidence and my instructions. That's what faith is. That's what faith is. Confidence in God and doing what he says. That's what faith is. I have confidence in God. What confidence I have in God? The confidence I have in God is that he's already done or is doing or will do what he said he would do.
Amen.
That's the confidence. And then doing what he says is now that he's done what he's going to do, he's going to tell us something to do, to get involved. That's my action. So my confidence and knowing what to do comes by hearing, and hearing by the rhema or a live word from God. So here it is. If I can hear the voice of God, then my will is definitely going to be shot because I can't make the decisions. If any of the pressure comes against me, I'm not going to make the right decision because, number one, I don't know what to do. Number two, I can't hear the voice of God. So if I can't hear the voice of God, I don't know what to do, so I'm going to just jump and do what I think I should do. And that's how most Christians don't win and face the battles that don't win with the battles they're facing. Because they immediately go back to the logos. Nothing wrong with the logos. It's just not your word. What I'm facing with my son, I can't go back to Noah and start building an ark. But I can take the principles out of Noah building the ark, hearing what God say do, and following God's instruction to a T, and I can apply that to my life when I'm dealing with my son.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You see the difference?
Yes, right.
See, I have to take the initiative to hear the voice of God and be able to make decisions based on what he's saying for myself. You seeing this? See, without hearing his voice, you will not be able to make the right decisions. You're always going to be guessing. Then when you don't hear the voice of God, you ain't got no confidence. When you got no confidence, then when you go to make a decision, your will is going to pull information from all the other aspects of your mind. See, God is there. His voice is there to control your emotions. His voice is there to control your memories. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
His voice is there to help control all other aspects of your mind, because he knows when that will comes, that will is going to make a decision based on the information that other aspects of your soul going to give. So if you're not hearing the voice of God when it comes down to making a decision, even if it's a simple decision as to say no to sin that presents itself, you're going to be like Paul. Paul, like, I know it's right. The law is spiritual. I know it's right, but man, every time I get to that point, I know to do right, but I just don't want to do right. That's because his will has been shot. Why? Not hearing the voice of God. I can't stress to you enough how important it is to hear the voice of God. You cannot grow spiritually unless you hear the voice of God. You cannot grow spiritually if you don't take time to enhance the voice of God in your life. Notice it's not God enhancing his voice in your life. It's you have to enhance it in your life. You got to turn up the volume. He's not going to turn the volume. You got to turn the volume. How you turn the volume? Not by hitting any type of knob, not by telling God he got to come to you a certain way. The way you turn the knob out, turn the volume up of God's voice is spending time in the Logos. See, you have to read the word, you have to meditate the word, and you have to remember that word. I mean, sometimes you gotta read the word of God till I get blurred, my eye get blurred, I get tired, sometimes my head, I don't know what these people are talking about. And you get down to Leviticus, they slinging blood everywhere. Sometimes you don't understand none of it. But you read it so you can get it down in you, and then you practice with the Holy Spirit unfolding these things to you. Are you seeing this? God is a spirit. You are a spirit. All the way God is going to communicate is by spirit. He's not coming out the spirit realm for you. He can't. God is not coming out the supernatural for you, but he has given us an open door into the supernatural. We have a right, a divine right. Never forget that. I come said this at the minister's conference. We have a divine right to walk in the supernatural. Jesus paid the price for us to walk in the supernatural. He paid the price for us to hear the voice of God on a consistent basis. Are you seeing this? Our author talk says that we have to, watch this, hear the word. This is in chapter 11. We have to hear it. We have to read it. We have to write it, memorize it, and meditate on it. We have to hear it. Read it, write it, memorize it, and meditate on it. Chapter 11, that's the very first pages. See, this is very important for us as ministers to understand this. Also, let me give you a little side journey for us who are called to the ministry. I call this, I see Dr. Thompson doing it all the time. I didn't know what it was. And this is how I was trained. This is how I was trained. I'm not really good with outlines. I can preach from outlines if I have to. I mean, sometimes, you know, you see me in my class with my notes, and if I got to get certain information out, it's better for me if I have it on outline. But a lot of times, I don't. When I go up to minister, I might have two or three thoughts, and I have probably, you know, 10 or 15 scriptures, and I put a dash beside the scriptures and put one or two words to jog my memory about what that scripture is saying. And I learned this from Dr. Thompson because it's important as ministers that we learn to allow the Holy Spirit to be involved in what we're doing. See, the Holy Spirit is the best relator. That's the best word I can come up with. He's the one that can relate the best with people. Because, you know, we got 25 here, and we got another 200 online. When I'm speaking to 225 different people with 225 different situations, 225 different personalities. So when you begin to, if you don't, watch this, if you do what the author say, if you're not reading the word, you ain't writing it, you ain't meditating it, you ain't hearing it, then when you go to minister, the Holy Spirit ain't going to be able to deal with you in a specific moment of time because you have to stick to your outline. See, I'm more concerned about the portal. Dr. Thomas was saying it so perfectly lately, and I've been listening. He talks about this portal being open. And this portal being open where God just enters the room. We've created an atmosphere for him to enter the room. Well, a lot of times I've seen ministers, they minister, but they won't allow the portal to be open. Is they going to go down? Not, is there anything wrong with outline preaching? Nah, I have no problem with outline preaching if you got to get information out. But when God wants to knock on your door and tell you put that outline on the side, you better have a reservoir. See, the Holy Spirit is there to recall. If ain't nothing in there, ain't nothing to recall. Ain't nothing to recall. And revelation cannot be walked upon when, see, revelation, root word of revelation, is reveal. Reveal means something that you now realize and that you didn't realize before. So watch this. That means for you to realize something that wasn't there before means you had to have walked that way before. If you haven't walked that way before, that is not a revelation. That's a discovery. So we're talking about revelation knowledge, revealed knowledge. That means we've walked this pathway before. What I mean by that, you've read, sometimes you got some scriptures you've read 100 times. 100 times. And you just walk that way. You walk that way. And all of a sudden, this one time you walk that way and the Holy Spirit say, look at this, look at this, look at this. That means that's something that has been revealed. This is not, you're not making no discovery. You've been down this road before. It's just something that you hadn't seen before is now being revealed. God wants to do that so much while we are ministering because, once again, you got different people with different situations, and that moment might be the only time God can get to their ears. But if we're not sensitive, if we don't have a reservoir, if we don't know how to hear the voice of God when God changes, because the ultimate reason, the ultimate goal, the ultimate purpose is for to feed his sheep. So if God can't take control and take the lead on feeding his sheep, I've done it before. You're going down your certain pathway, and God say go this way, and you just for whatever reason don't want to go that way, and God say okay, no problem, I'm gonna stop right here. I'm gonna stop right here. You go and walk. I'm gonna stay right here. And when you decide to go my way, just come on back and then we'll go together. I've had that happen before. See, this is important for us as leaders in the body of Christ to understand. Even when we minister somebody one-on-one, we might have our own pet thing we're going to say, and God say, no, say this to them. But if you can't hear, you going with your pet scripture, your favorite scripture, the one that you memorized, the one you done revealed to yourself. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
See, as ministers, I'm looking at his face now. He begins to talk about E.W. Kenyon. He begins to talk about releasing your spirit when you minister. He begins to talk about releasing your spirit when you minister. Well, wait a minute now. If I ain't been spending time and I ain't been hearing the voice of God, ain't nothing to release. There's nothing to release. So we as ministers, we have to get a hold of the voice of God. You can't lead people if you can't hear the voice. Moses had to hear the voice of God to lead the people out of Egypt. It wasn't him guessing. He had a whole nation depended on him. Listen, watch how important to hear the voice of God. These people had left Egypt with all the money and had nowhere to spend it, and they got hungry. And God told Moses, I'm going to feed them. And he told him how I'm going to feed them. And he gave him specific instructions on what to do. Moses had to hear the voice of God to lead people. See, so we as leaders, we can't be guessing about hearing the voice of God. You know, we can't be. And then here's another thing. I ain't following nobody that say to hear the voice of God and ain't got no proof to hear the voice of God. Because if you're telling me you hearing the voice of God, but your life don't look like what you're saying, somebody lying. Either you lying about hearing the voice of God, or God ain't been talking to you. One out of two. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So it's important. The voice of God is important because it's the very thing that will cause your spirit to grow. That's the very thing that will cause it. That's why I told him to talk about prayer so much. Praying. Now watch this. Here's one of the fatal mistakes that Christians have with prayer. Is that they're all doing the talking. Prayer is simply us communicating with God. And some of us make it a one-way conversation. Make it a one-way conversation. Prayer should never be a one-way conversation. It should never be a one-way conversation. You know, people get this misconception of, I want you to pray for me. Okay, I'll pray for you. I ain't got no problem praying for you. But why you don't pray for yourself? Because it's in prayer is where you're going to get your answer. It's in prayer where you're going to, Where you going to find out what you need to do. So if I'm the only one praying for you, you ain't praying for yourself, then that means your answer got to come through me, which means I got control over you. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
So prayer is a two-way conversation. I love to get with the Word. And I begin, and watch this. Stop the old English. Thou, O Lord, are high in the heavens. Man, come on. Chill out with that. You know, one of the best ways I heard it was, Well, my dad had, when he was old, better church, my dad loved to tell his story. He talked about this man, Mr. Cooter. And he'd say, Lord, this me Cooter. I mean, Lord, this me, this Leroy. Lord, I'm here. I can't see my way out. I need your help. See, not this, it's not in the formality. You know, it's not in the formality of praying. It's a conversation. The Bible says God is a spirit. Those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in being real. So I'm not coming to God putting on airs. Ain't no sense putting on airs with God. He already know. So when I come to God, I'm coming to God real. God, look, I messed up yesterday. I'm hurting. I'm sorry. I need your help. God, look, I'm in this situation. I don't know what to do. I'm stuck. I'm trying to hear your voice, God. See, it's Mark 9 where he talked to that man that had that son that was dumb, and that spirit was bothering him, was possessing him. The Lord said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That man turned around and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Man, that's real. That's real. See, God already knows where you are. So ain't no sense going into your prayer closet putting on like you got it all together. If you don't know what to do, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, I don't know what to say. God, Solomon said this. God, I don't know how to come in or go out. Lord, I need your help. That's when God sees that you're real and he can build you. See, one of the biggest problems with ministers is pride and ego. Oh, that's the biggest. That's the biggest problem with preachers, ministers, fivefold ministers is pride and ego. God call you, and all of a sudden, he must have seen something in me. He ain't seeing nobody else. No, God saw you because he know you needed help. Amen. That's why he called you. He know you needed help. So that's why he called you, because he know you need help more than anybody else. That's the way I look at it. God, I need your help. I need God. I'm just being real. Because then you humble yourself, and the voice of God now can come in and begin to build you up. You seeing this? So from your prayer time and spending time with God in the Word, be real with him. Be real with him. However you talk to. Now watch this. Here's the one thing that bothers me about people who mistake this scripture. It says we can boldly, I believe it's Hebrews, where it says we boldly come into the throne. It's Hebrews 4:16. We boldly come into the throne with grace, that I may obtain mercy in a time of need. You know, give you a prime example. Dr. Thompson's office is downstairs, and, you know, I have a right to walk in there when I get ready. Nobody can stop me from going in there. Nobody can stop me from going in there. I have a right to walk in when I get ready. I can boldly go into his office, right? But when I get in his office, it does not give me the right to boldly talk to him. I still have to have reverence. So watch this. Give you an example. I can boldly walk into his office. Why? Because I have a right to be there. But once I'm there, I have to address him in reverence. Yeah, that's right. See, here's the thing with God. I'm not going to God and come. I have a right to come into his throne. I have a right to come into his presence. But when I come into the boldness stops when I come into his presence. Yeah. Are you seeing this? So now I'm not trying to make no demands on God. I'm there saying, God, it's all what you want, God. I'm here for you. What it is. Now, my boldness, can't nobody stop me from going into the presence. See, I have a right. The price has been paid. Jesus died on the cross, the price has been paid for me to boldly come into his throne room of grace. But once I get there, I'm here to obtain mercy. So I'm not going to be demanding mercy. I'm not going to be in there talking big when Lil got me. Do y'all get what I'm saying? So when we go to God, I'm coming boldly because ain't nobody going to stop me from getting into his presence. But once I get into the presence of God, I'm come as a child. God, I want to hear your voice. God, I want to be with you. I want to spend time with you. I need you to speak to me. God, I'm having a situation. I don't know what to do. I'm dealing with this. God, give me insight on this. How do you want to handle this? What would you do, God, if you was in my position? You see the difference? So it's not so much of me, and because it's not so much of I got a right to be in here. I got a right to come up in here. And you acting bigoted. The boldness is if Satan comes and say, you know what you did last night, huh? Satan, I ain't think about you. I can boldly come into the throne room of grace. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
Once I get to that throne room, I know I'm in a safe place. So I can be me.
Yes, yes.
I can be me.
Yes,
I can open myself up and let God heal me where I need to be healed.
Yes.
I can let God fix me where I need to be fixed. I can let God build me where I need to be built. Are you seeing this?
Yes, sir.
The voice of God is important. It's vital. Like you need oxygen. In the spirit world, the voice of God is oxygen. If you don't get oxygen, you're going to suffocate and die. In the spirit world, if you don't hear the voice of God, you're going to suffocate and die. Just like oxygen is to us in the natural, that's how the voice of God is to us in the spirit world. I cannot live in him. I live, move, and have my being. Without his voice, I ain't nothing. Without God talking to me, I ain't nothing. Without God speaking to me, I can't accomplish nothing. The voice of God is important. I'll see y'all next week.